Good morning and welcome to the Zoom version of Zion. Thank you, Kristen, for the prelude music. Today is Mother's Day and it is week 8 of virtual church services. There was a bit of social distancing togetherness this morning at Zion's physical location, which was exciting. Thank you, Cheryl Mast and Luann, for the cinnamon rolls. Since it appears that we are going to be needing to be physically distant for a while longer yet, I hope that people are adjusting to the oddity that is life right now. I'd like everybody to take a few seconds to think of at least one good thing that they've experienced or appreciated during this time of COVID. If you're with people, you can share that thing with the other people too. And keeping with the theme of thankfulness, I'd like to offer a prayer of gratitude for this physically distant Mother's Day. So everyone can bow their heads or do whatever you like. For all the mothers who are still with us, and for those who have gone to be with Jesus, we give thanks today. For all those who mothered us, some in addition to our own mothers, some in place of absent mothers, we recognize you and give thanks for you. For all women who have been figures of grace and love in our lives, your example has been meaningful to us. During this time of physical distancing, we wish we could be nearer to our mothers and our children to us. We pray that this day brings phone calls and cards, love and light, your way, mothers and mothering women. We love you. Amen. For the call to worship today, you'll be able to read it on the screen, and I will read it aloud. The Spirit of God calls us from many places. Some of us come from busy homes with many people. Some of us live alone. We are part of the family. This week has been different for each of us. Some of us have had happy news we want to celebrate. Some of us have faced grief and need to cry. We are members of God's family, yet we all come to this same place together in Zoom, all of us seeking God's presence in our lives, all of us seeking God's presence with each other. Together, we become God's family.
Let's move to a time of singing. Our first song this morning comes from the November 2nd service of 2014. It's number 3 in the Green Book. Jesus calls us here to meet him.
Jesus calls us here to meet him. morning, everybody. I'm sitting here in my office with this wonderful cinnamon roll that many of you came by the church this morning to enjoy. And we got to see you. It was wonderful to have time and space between us to visit with one another and say Happy Mother's Day. So children, this is a special day that we celebrate. And I want you to tell me, I'm gonna ask the parents if you can do this on chat, and I'll try to follow those real quick. And also adults, you can participate. Why do we have a special day to celebrate mothers? Well, it's because of all of the things that they do for us. So can you tell me some of the things that our mothers do for us? And can you quickly put those in the chat room that I could see those? Kids, please participate with parents typing, and adults, you can also participate. What is it that our mothers do for us? Well, I can think of a few. Okay. Thank you, Bowen. My mother makes food for us. She gives us special treats from Owen. Another one, Kiara, she makes us food. Liesl, she lets us help make food. Pat, she sewed my dresses. Cynthia, my mom is making us bread on a regular basis. Emmett says, Mom keeps us alive. She plays with us. We're so fortunate and blessed to have our moms. So those are things that moms do, but what are some of the qualities that our moms have? So when I mean qualities, I mean, who are our moms? Who are they? Do you have some of those things to share? Mom pushes us on the tire swing. She makes everyone feel special. She gives the best hugs and makes the best cinnamon rolls. She changes our diapers. She helps me unload the dishwasher. Mom pushes us. Mom is a great listener. Those are wonderful qualities that our mothers can be helpful, cheerful, friendly, caring, loving, kind, accepting of others. We're very blessed and fortunate to have mothers and to have other women that have been mothers for us, maybe grandmothers, maybe an aunt or another special person that has been like a mother. So I have a Mother's Day card, and inside of it is a scripture from the Bible, Proverbs 31, and I want to tell you what the Bible says about mothers. A mother is far more precious than jewels. She provides food for her household. Her arms are strong. She opens her hand to the poor. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She opens her mouth with wisdom. She looks well to the ways of her household. Her children rise up and call her happy. And her husband too, he praises her. So today we're grateful, and we want to especially say to one another that we're grateful for our mothers and the different things of how they help us every day. Let's pray. Dear God, we cannot thank you enough for our mothers who love us more than we could know. Thank you for their devotion to you. And thank you for all the women in our lives who help us to be better people and who love us into being. May we show our love and gratitude today. Amen. We're going to sing together. I want the kids to sing with me, Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
I'm going to read the scripture for today, which is Philippians 1, 27 to 2, 11. And it is a bit long, but you'll be able to follow along on the screen as well. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation, and this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Good morning. Welcome. As you can see, I am in the church building, and I too have my cinnamon roll here. So, you know, if the sermon gets too long, I'm going to snack. All right. So just so you know, I'm ready to go with that. Definitely. I want to say happy Mother's Day as well to everyone, and especially to those that are moms. Just appreciate seeing everyone this morning that was able to come to the church parking lot to pick up some cinnamon rolls. It was a fun time just to see people. And one thing I thought about and I learned this morning is just that desire for to be together with one another is so strong. And so I'm thankful that we got a taste of that this morning, keeping our distance from one another. But then also I just recognize the loss that we experience and not being able to shake hands and to hug one another. And so I'm thankful and was excited to see people's faces and again, just to connect that way, but also just really recognizing I can't wait till we get to be together. And I don't know when that'll be, it's gonna be a while, but I know many are looking forward to that. And so we are hopeful. And meanwhile, we're going to get creative And so like this morning was one way to do that, and maybe we'll come up with some more ways as well. We are in a series coming out of the book of Philippians. And just to catch us up where we've been so far, we covered in Philippians chapter 1, prayer, and then also problems, and really focusing in on having a joy perspective on our prayers, joy perspective on our problems. Last week, Jana gave us a sermon about washing feet, and that ties right into this ongoing theme that we see in Philippians, that Paul is trying to help us understand how we function and work together as the body of Christ in joy. And part of that is walking in humility, and that the washing of feet is definitely an example of how to walk in humility. And I think you can see this, but I'm going to hold it anyway. Remember that Paul starts this letter with these packages of grace and peace, offering grace and peace to each person, to his readers, and then also to us today. That understanding of God's grace and peace upon our lives, what it means to recognize the grace of God upon our lives through Jesus Christ, and then the peace that we have in knowing Jesus. And so this morning, in looking at this text, there's a lot in here, so I appreciate Gary, your reading of that. You did a great job. There is a lot of text here to cover. I probably won't get all of it covered. I'm going to cover some of it, and I'm hoping the parts I do cover, that God will be at work in that as you hear, again, his word and some understanding of it from my perspective. One of the things that's important here to note right away, if we're going to have a joy perspective on our lives, we're going to have to really work at understanding what it is that God is calling us to. And that Paul is so clear on that in the book of Philippians, what his focus is. Again and again, he talks about the partnership, koinonia, being together. Then he focuses in on some of what he's been through. Verse 12, chapter 1, he says, what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. So this advancement of the gospel is spoken at again and again by Paul, making it clear this is what he is about. And then in verse 18 in chapter 1, he says motives don't matter. What he's really concerned about is that Christ is preached. So we see that being proclaimed as Paul's purpose. And then a verse we maybe hear oftentimes in the church, verse 21 in chapter 1, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So again, the clarity of purpose of focus for Paul, and that's going to be important for each one of us as we think about having a joy perspective on our purpose. And so that you and I can live out to this calling that is on our lives in recognizing how can I think about what I do in life and how that connects to my understanding of my identity, who I am in Christ, a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In verse 27, in chapter 1, again, it starts off, only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That word only encompasses one translation is, whatever happens, conduct yourselves. Whatever is going on, no matter what, only conduct yourselves. So this conduct is very important for Paul, and we're to do this in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And I think about the situation we find ourselves in today with this virus and all the limitations that are upon us in trying to keep one another healthy and showing love to others by keeping our distance. And that goes against a lot of what we've learned in church, because we're to be together and to share with one another. And suddenly we're faced with, you know, some restrictions, and we have to get creative. But again, and thinking about Philippians, Paul's saying, whatever happens, only all that's going on, we still need to continue to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Life has its challenges. We all are experiencing that with this virus. Some of us are facing challenges. It might be health challenges. It could potentially be some financial challenges. All of life brings challenges. And what we're seeing here in Philippians is some of those challenges that Paul talks about, things like the opposition to the gospel, to the good news, to Jesus, those that would oppose that message. He talks about his struggles. And, you know, we could think about our struggles, and we could have a listing of all of our struggles and what they might be. Paul, remember, and he's writing this letter, is in prison. And he's writing to the church in Philippi, and we remember that it was in Philippi that Paul suffered, was beaten and thrown into prison. And so those are some of the struggles, perhaps, that are in his mind as he's challenged to write this letter to the church in Philippi, to the Philippians, and then even to us. But then he goes on and talks about, he wants us to strive. He's challenging us to strive together. And I'll tell you, sometimes that in and of itself can be a challenge, striving together. For those that have young children at home right now, and maybe you're working from home, and so suddenly we're all together all the time, and there's some striving going on. So how to be in community, how to be family, sometimes presents challenges in and of itself. Paul's talking about suffering. Maybe some of those family challenges are feeling like suffering today. I get that. Paul's expanding that, though, in this context, when he's writing this letter, talking about suffering, the fact that he's in prison, that there's opposition to the preaching of the gospel. And then he goes on and really emphasizes in Philippians 1 at the end of that chapter, and then picking this theme up again in chapter 2, that we're striving, we're working together, that koinonia, that connectedness that we share with one another as the body of Christ. And so there's the outside opposition that Paul's addressing and the suffering that brings, but he's also reminding us as the church, the body of Christ, that there's a desire in us from being part of the body of Christ to be together, to be connected, to be in relationship with one another. For those that were part of putting this together. Do you remember? This is the rope. The last Sunday that we were all together here in the building, we tied pieces of string to that rope to represent the fact that we're all connected. We're connected to God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, but connected to one another as well. And it's in those connection places that sometimes there is challenges. And so in chapter 2 in Philippians, Paul's addressing some of that. Giving us, maybe even giving us steps, if we want to look at it that way, of how to do this work together as the body of Christ, how to stay connected with one another. Part of where we find ourselves as Zion Mennonite Church is this interim time where I've been invited to walk along with the congregation. It looks a little different than we expected it at the beginning of March. I get that. But one of the things that I continue to hear some about is some of the difficulties, challenges, struggles of what it's been like to be together as Zion Mennonite Church. And, you know, maybe there's even some visitors with us this morning through Zoom watching this, and I want to say welcome to those folks. But all churches, all organizations, all families have points of struggle, points of differences. And it's what we do with those, how we handle those, that is what Paul's really talking about here in conducting ourselves worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's what we do with those differences that results in our conduct and how it works together as the body of Christ to be representative of Jesus, even when we disagree with each other. And I think he's getting to that because this letter is being written at a time when he knows struggles are coming to the church. They're already struggling through things, and there's different ideas, different viewpoints. So if we look at chapter 2, verse 1, he's talking about encouragement. And if these are steps of resolving our differences or the challenges of conflict, I think encouragement is a big one, to encourage one another. He's talking about encouragement in Christ. He's talking about consolation from love, sharing in the Spirit, all these things that we have as being part of the church that we need to encourage each other in that. And then to celebrate those things that we share in common. To think about in church, particularly, if we recognize that part of what we're called to do is to encourage one another, then we can celebrate those things that we share in common, even if we see differently about life, about our understanding of how we're supposed to do church. We can still celebrate those things we share in common. And I would say that it is likely that some of these same things happen in our families. I'm thinking about Mom's Day today, and you know, encouragement in Christ, consolation from love, sharing in the Spirit, compassion, sympathy. Those are great qualities that many moms have. I know my mom had those great qualities. And the celebration that can happen in families, even in the midst of some of the differences that we have, to understand, hey, we're still a family, we're still a church, here's what we can celebrate together, those commonalities. And then verse 2 in Philippians 2 says, make my joy complete, be of the same mind. And again, having the same love. And so the motivation to work together as family, as church, is love. During the Lent series, we're in the book of John. We looked at this love, this call to love one another. Jesus says that we're to love one another. And in doing that, that is our motivation. It doesn't mean we always like what the other is doing or what the other thinks, but we can still love them. And that's an important piece of trying to think about facing our challenges, our differences, getting through those things that might cause conflict in our lives. And then verse 3, this call to be humble. And that we don't take on challenges to suit oneself always, but we're trying to think about the other, to approach life in humility. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. So it says nothing there. In the Greek word there means nothing. That there's, we just, and that's a challenge. I'll tell you right up front, that's a challenge for me. Nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. And it's a problem for me, and I'll confess this to you, it's a problem because I'm always right. And as someone who's always right, you can imagine the difficulties then when there's this call to humility. And to understand there's that I'm not to be approaching things out of this selfish ambition or conceit. Well, then what motivates us? If it's not selfish, if it's not my own ambition, what is the motivation? And the motivation then is God's love. That's the motivating factor here that keeps us moving forward. But we do that in humility. So if we're looking at steps, we encourage one another, we celebrate those things we share in common, we're motivated by love, and then we do this in humility. In humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Now just let that sink in a little bit. Regard others better than yourselves. Yeah, but I'm a pretty good preacher. I'm better than whoever you want to put in there or whatever your gift is. Some of you are really good singers. I'm not. So you could say, you know, I'm a really good singer, a lot better than Bill is. Absolutely. Okay. But this understanding that it's about approaching one another in humility, looking to the interests of others, not thinking you're better. So we're all given gifts. Those gifts vary. They look different. All are important. All make a difference. And to think about, it's not just about the gifts that I bring into the body of Christ, but it's the gifts that all of us bring together, working together. So to think about, okay, in humility, regard others better than ourselves. I'm going to work on that. But then the next verse is one of the key things that I have found to be very important, particularly when there's people who are facing disagreements with one another, or even with churches, and working with churches that have some differences. It says in verse 4, let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And one of the important things to think about in this process is to take note of the interests of all. Even when we're in disagreement with one another, perhaps, what are some of those underlying interests that are really important, and to take note of those things? Well, what might that look like? Here's a scenario, perhaps, as a pastor. I'm just making this up. Well, not really. But someone being very upset with me because I didn't shake their hand on a Sunday morning. Now, this was before we were, you know, weren't allowed to shake hands, but someone saying, you know, the pastor just ignored me Sunday morning, didn't even shake my hand. And they're upset about that. And the underlying interest of that upset is their desire to have a personal relationship with the pastor. So that's one way you would note that, that the, a very important need for that person is a personal relationship, a personal connection. And in the midst of some of the disagreements that may happen in life, whether it's family, church, things at work, wherever it might be, is to note the interests of all and to recognize, even if I disagree with you about some point, what are those underlying interests around that issue that I can really note in self and in the other and in you? So not just about my interests, but to think about the other's interests as well. And once we do that, once we are able to, again, think about these as steps, perhaps encourage each other, be motivated by love, in humility, noting the interests of all, it makes it much easier then to think about, well, how can we work together to address our common interests that we have, and how can we work together at some of these interests that aren't so in common? Is there a way to come up with a solution that we're both comfortable enough with to move forward? Maybe it's not all of what I'd hoped for, but at least there's enough in this moving forward that I can say, yeah, this feels pretty good. And it seems like Paul was in this letter trying to give a sense of how to help the Christians that were in Philippi, this church, but also then he uses this as example. In verse 5, it says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." And what he quotes then in the next verses here from verse 6 to 11, this is, well, some scholars say it was a hymn probably that he was quoting, something that would have been circulated in the churches, that would have been familiar words to them. But Paul uses this in Philippians as an illustration to help people be motivated to do the work that he just talked about in verses 1 to 4. But we pull a lot of theology out of these verses because it's an understanding of how Jesus, being God, also became human. And so one of the things that comes out of this is, if you're into theological terms and understandings, focusing in on the hypostatic union, or the kenosis of Christ. These are concepts, theological ideas of what was in this hymn of the early church, but also the theology that's present there. And this concept of Jesus emptying himself, taking the position of a servant of the in humility and being humble in that. In our confession of faith, in a Mennonite perspective, Article 2, talks a bit about these verses, and it starts out, this is the article about Jesus. It says, "We believe in Jesus Christ, the Word of God become flesh. He is the Savior of the world, who has delivered us from the dominion of sin and reconciled us to God by humbling self and becoming obedient unto death on a cross." So again, this humbling, this emptying of oneself. If you're really into church history, I have some books, right? This in here, The Christological Controversy, you got to really be into it. It's pretty boring to wade through some of that material. But what I want to note in that early church, they would have these discussions about theological matters, and then they'd have these councils where they'd come up with, here's what we're deciding as we move forward as the body of Christ. And one of those early councils was the Council of Chalcedon in 451. So 400 and some years after Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, the early church leaders are looking at this concept from Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, where it says Jesus emptied himself. And they come up with this, and if you want more on that, again, you read here, and there are lots of other places you can read about that too. But they come up with this understanding in that early church in 451, and they said that Christ is one person, subsists in two natures. That's how they explained Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, that there's one Jesus and there's two natures. That's that hypostatic union. So they do that, and 451. They publish those results, spread it around to everyone, and then that fixes the problem. Well, not really. Even today, there's debate over what is meant by these verses, and what does it mean that Jesus was both fully human and fully God, and what did that look like? And so even though in 451, the church leaders came up with this conclusion as they moved forward together as a church, it's still talked about today and debated. And there actually are divisions in the body of Christ over what the meaning of this is. And so I was going to say it's ironic, but there is no irony in the Bible. I mean, it's just interesting to me that we have verses 1-4 in Philippians chapter 2 about how to work together as the body of Christ, particularly even facing disagreements. And then this hymn in 6-11 that has caused much disagreement in the church. And so to just kind of think about, okay, whatever we disagree about, it takes effort to work together, motivated by love, trying to encourage one another. But Jesus is our example. Jesus is our motivation. Jesus is the one that pulls us, draws us in to do this work. And in doing that, in verse 9 in Philippians chapter 2, the results of Jesus being humble, going to the cross, the results of that says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. So that the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I would suggest, submit, or say that if we can do some of the hard work of verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 in Philippians chapter 2, if we can do some of the hard work that needs to be done there, the results of that is that we glorify God, is that we join with Jesus in this exaltation to bring glory to God through that work. And so this morning, we have left up on the front here the word glory, just to recognize God's glory still being evidenced throughout the work that we do as the body of Christ. Conduct, again, going back to where we started this morning, the conduct that we have, if that follows the gospel, if it follows the example of Christ, the results of that, if we can continue to do that, is indeed exaltation and glory to God. Now, it would be nice for me to sit here in this empty church building, although I'm with you through Zoom and in spirit. It would be nice for me to think, well, now I've done it. I've preached the sermon that will fix all problems here forward. I know better. Because in my own life, I've looked at these verses before. I try to work at all of this, but I probably do well at it, not a lot. Can I say that? I was going to say I don't do well at it 50% of the time, but Julie, my wife, is here in the sanctuary with me, and she might have a rebuttal to that suggestion. But the point is, as people of the body of Christ, as Christians, as believers, we keep working at it. And when I get hooked or caught up in my own self, my own desires, my own conceit, that I try to, either I recognize that I'm caught up in it or somebody points it out to me. And then what I have to do is I back up. I may need to ask for forgiveness from some folks. But I keep working at it. I don't give up. I keep trying to think about, read the scriptures, try to connect with people. What is it that God's calling me to move forward, maybe in this situation or even in situations that are yet to come? Paul was working at it as he was writing this letter, as he was sitting in prison, trying to help this early church. And these words today, trying to help us in family, work, and even in our church. May we find help in these words as we move forward together. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for your love for us. God, I pray that you would continue to bring encouragement into our lives, help us to encourage one another. God, I think about the physical distance that we must keep during these times. And God, I thank you for the creative ways that we are staying connected. Even if we can't be physically close, we know that we are close because we are the body of Christ, connected to you by the Holy Spirit. Help us to know those connections this week. God, I pray too that if there are places where we are having differences with others, whether it's in family or work or church or whatever it might be, that you would guide us through that in a way that isn't just about getting my way or in a way that's about me being right, but a way that is about your love, your care for one another. In your name I pray, amen.
Let's respond together in song from our own spaces. This next song comes from the Green Sing the Journey book. It's number 54, Longing for Light.
Grateful for the recordings that we've done in church all these years, and it's not until now when we haven't been able to be together to sing and worship that they're very meaningful to me. So As long as it's on our website and we've got recordings of our congregational singing, I hope that we can keep using that for our worship in this way. This song, what sticks out to me in this song was "Make us a living voice." Make us a living voice in our world today. I want us to lift up the Van Pelt family this morning. I got news this morning that Jake passed away last night. And we want to remember Marilyn and his children, Julie, Janie, and Mike and their families. So I want to just lift up a prayer for them right now. Would you pray with me? Lord, we just ask that you would wrap your loving arms around the Van Pelts today. Thank you for the life of Jake, for Jake's love of life. And we know that he is wrapped in your loving arms. We just pray for your comfort and your peace to be with Marilyn, with her children, with the extended family. May they know your strength and your comfort during this time. Amen. And we will be letting you know through email of any plans for a memorial service, what that looks like. I want to also lead in a prayer and ask that at the end you would join me in the Lord's Prayer. So let's go to prayer. God, you are our creator, redeemer, and sustainer. And we are aware of the many struggles going on with ourselves and with others. It feels like every day there's a new challenge. Our world is hurting. We are fearful. We each have a story to tell, and in these uncertain times, we need you. You understand our human condition, and I ask that you would just guide us to what we need. Turn our fear into a path of deeper spiritual awareness and grow our trust in you. Lord, fill our cups with your loving presence so that we might overflow, we might be poured out as a living voice with your goodness, your grace, your compassion, and your comfort. Your word alone has power to save us. Make us a living voice. Give us eyes to see those needs around us, that we can reach out, that we can do what we can to make the world a better place. We lift up public health workers, medical professionals, and chaplains who are responding to the increasing care needs. We lift up our church family struggling with illness and health concerns. Lord, we ask that you would bring them relief, bring them your healing. And I especially pray for our young families today, for the fatigue that they are feeling of long days in isolation. Would you just bless them with wisdom and your grace as they care for each other, as they parent? Give them stronger bonds of togetherness through this time. And we pray for our shut-ins, those that cannot see family members who are experiencing loneliness. May they know in your presence today as we pray the prayer that you taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So before our benediction, just want to let everybody know that we are going to be having a short time where everybody can talk to each other again, and then we're going to split out into the breakout sessions. And so if you would like to participate in the breakout sessions, just stay on online or in Zoom, and you'll automatically be put into a group that you'll be able to chat with everybody and catch up with the randomly assorted persons that are in your group. So with that, here's the benediction. May you go forth with humble hearts, ready to serve your neighbor in a world in need. Amen. Lead us, O God. And now you can unmute.